I was reading the other day that between 1875 and 1883, there was a professional thief named Black Bart, whose very name struck fear as he terrorized the Wells Fargo line, stage line. And from San Francisco to New York, his name became synonymous with the dangers of the frontier. He robbed 29 different stagecoach crews. Amazingly, he did all this without firing a single shot. His weapon was his reputation. His ammunition was intimidation. His hood hid his face. No victim ever saw him. No artist ever sketched his features. No sheriff could ever track his trail. He never took a hostage. He didn't have to. His presence was enough to paralyze. Black Bart reminds me of another thief that had been around for a while, one who's still riding the trails today. You know him, but like Black Bart, you have never seen his face. You can't describe his voice or sketch his profile. But when he is near, you know it in a heartbeat. He was the thief who kept you awake and stole your sleep. He was the con man who convinced you to swap your integrity for popularity. It was him who got you to say nothing and do nothing rather than to deal with the problem. It was him who was the scoundrel who whispered in your ears, "No one really cares about you." He's the Black Bart of the soul. He doesn't want your money or your valuables. What he wants is your peace of mind and your joy, and his name is fear. His name is fear. Many Christians are feeling afraid nowadays. Fear is a powerful emotion. It keeps you from succeeding in life. Fear wants to steal your joy and take your courage. His modus operandi, which is his mode of operation, is to manipulate you with the unknown. Fear of death, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of being alone, fear of God, fear of living. His goal is to render you joyless. But friends, listen. God wants to encourage you with these words. Are you ready? Don't be afraid. You got it? This is what God wants to encourage you with. Don't be afraid. You know, these words are used 88 times in the Bible and mostly spoken by God to his people. And when we add that the words are spoken by God, we can trust them, friends. And this phrase is in our text for today. But before I go there, I was reading about a fellow named John Payton, who was a missionary in the New Hebrides Islands. And one night, hostile natives of the island surrounded the mission station, intent on burning down the house and killing the Paytons. John and his wife prayed during the terror-filled night that God will deliver them. And when daylight came, they were amazed to see their attackers get up and leave. A year later, the chief of that tribe came to know Jesus as his savior. And remembering what happened, John asked the chief, "What kept him from burning down the house and killing them?" The chief replied in surprise, "Who were all those men who were there?" Payton knew that there were no men there that night. But the chief said he was afraid to attack because he's seen hundreds of big men in shiny garments with swords drawn circling the mission station. Let me say this. I want you to remember this. To believe the impossible, one must first see the invisible. Listen, I'll say it again because it's a little bit much. To believe the impossible, one must first see the invisible. That is looking with the eyes of faith and not sight. Looking with the eyes of faith and not sight. I want to give you a background into our text this morning, which is in 2 Kings chapter 16. We find the Syrian king. His name was King Ben-Hadad, or Ben-Hadad, as some people call him. He was making war against Israel. He was setting up camps in various places to attack. And each time he did so, God will reveal this to the prophet Elisha, who would then go and reveal it to the king Joram, the king of Israel. And whenever Elisha would warn the king of Israel, he would send out scouts to guard those areas, and Ben-Hadad's ambush attempts always failed. This happened several times. So Ben-Hadad caught on, hey, someone is telling King Joram of my plans. And so he accuses his servants of treason. But one of them says, wait, hang on. It is actually Elisha, the prophet, who is warning Israel. Enraged by this, friends, the king sends troops to find Elisha and bring him to Syria. The report came back that Elisha was actually in Dothan, a small town 12 miles north of Israel's capital, Samaria, and 60 miles north of Jerusalem. Its previous mention, this town's mention, is in Genesis chapter 37. You remember where it was a location where Joseph was sold as a slave by his brothers. You remember that now? Ben-Hadad, wanting to make sure Elisha didn't slip away, sent a strong force of men under the cover of darkness, which you notice that's when evil likes to do its work. And before the sun rose, the entire town of Dothan was surrounded by horses and chariots and soldiers. And there appeared to be no way to escape. But God had a different plan. What Ben-Hadad doesn't consider, friends, is the presence of God. He was just going to send an army to capture Elisha, but he has a spoiler alert. It's not going to work. There have been several men in history who have made similar mistakes. I was reading about King Edward II of England, who was surprised by this little Scottish army he was about to attack. But what surprised him even more was that this little Scottish army all knelt down in prayer. And this happened just before they defeated him at the Battle of Bannockburn in 1314. This little Scottish army defeated King Edward II of England. Oops. Edward, didn't work, buddy. Pharaoh was another fellow who didn't know who God was, and so he didn't see any reason to listen to what God said, and he wasn't going to let God's people go from Egypt. It didn't work, Pharaoh. Herod heard that there is a new king born to the Jews. So he had all the baby boys in Bethlehem killed to try and stop him. It didn't work, Herod. Nero wanted to suppress Christians in the Roman Empire so he did everything he could to terrorize and destroy them. It didn't work, Nero. Thinking that he could stop the Huguenots, King Louis XIV canceled the Edict of Nantes, which gave the Huguenots the freedom to worship without persecution. And he made the Protestant movement illegal in France. It didn't stop them. Oops, sorry, Louis. Voltaire said that he would end Christianity with one hand. He would use the printing press to print anti-Christian writings. Listen, later that same printing press was used in Geneva to make Bibles. Ouch! Voltaire. In some sometimes ironic ways, God's presence, friends, with these people gets overlooked by the enemy. Right? You know, the enemy takes a chance by coming after you. In verse 15 of our text, 2 Kings 6, early in the morning, Elisha's servant woke up and went outside and saw an army of horses and chariots that surrounded the city. And this is what he said, I underlined it. Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? No doubt he was full of fear and uncertainty. But there was one person in all this who wasn't terrified of the enemy. He wasn't discouraged by difficulties. It was the man who was close to God and who realized that God was close to him. Notice what Elisha does. He prays. But not that God will show up, because he knew God was always there. The prophet Elisha, with a bold calmness, said to the trembling servant who was gripped with fear, verse 16, I love this verse. Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Amen? Listen, those who are with us, me and you, buddy, are more than those who are with them. How could he say that? There were only two of them and they were completely surrounded by the Syrian army. Or some versions, I was reading different versions. They call it Aramean army. It wasn't that Elisha was an optimist. It was that he was able to see the armies of the living God. And his servant wasn't. Friends, Elisha was looking through the eyes of faith and seeing the impossible. The servant was looking from physical eyes or through physical eyes. And so Elisha said, oh Lord, open his eyes so he may see. When the Lord opened his eyes, he was able to see this time, in addition to the Syrian army, the yells full with horses and chariots of fire. An army of God were there to protect Elisha and the servant, and they were there all along. And he looked through the eyes of faith and not sight. Friends, I want to slow down a little. Have you ever felt like that servant? One morning you woke up and went outside and found your city surrounded, as it were. That the enemy had come during the night and now you are trapped by your fears. There seems to be no way out. And you don't know what to do. Sometimes the enemy that surrounds us is a health problem of our own or of a loved one. Sometimes it's a financial problem or a relational problem. Other times it's fear of rejection and fear of failure. But whoever and whatever it is, the bottom line is this, friends, fear has gripped you and you are paralyzed, trembling, unable to move, and your joy is gone. So, friends, it's time to ask God to open your eyes. Pray that God will help us see through the problems and the difficulties and the trials and to see Him. To see Him. And you'll discover that He's been there all along. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what James is talking about in the first chapter of James. Let's read. James chapter 1, verse 2-6. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, and He gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Friends, I just want to point out three things from our text this morning. Let me say what happens when God opens your eyes. Firstly, you see the true nature of the battle. You see the true nature of the battle. Elisha's servant thought the battle was two against the Syrian army. That's what he thought. But God and His spiritual army stood by Elisha and his servant. And like the servant, so many people are blind to the true nature of the battle because we have taken our eyes off God and we have focused on the world and the problems and we feel outnumbered. When we look to God, He opens our eyes and we begin to see. With God, we are more than they. With God, we are more than they. We not only see that we are in the majority, but we see that the battle is spiritual in nature. Paul said to the Ephesian church, 6 verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And friends, these principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, this spiritual wickedness work in this world to hurt, to destroy, to grip us with fear and to steal our joy. It is a spiritual battle. The battle is over authority. Jesus has all authority. Paul said, Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17. "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in him all things consist." The Lord created the angels, but Satan, the fallen angel, rebelled and attempted to steal God's authority, and he was cast out of heaven. Now, Satan wants to control your life and my life. He wants authority in our lives. Every human being that ever walked the face of this earth, friends, has taken part in this spiritual battle. Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Satan is a thief. He wants to take control. Satan has no authority. But we give him control when we walk by the flesh and not by sight. By the spirit. Walk by the flesh, but not the spirit. James 4 verse 7 says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Paul said to Ephesians 6, 10 and 11, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We spent weeks on a Bible study on Wednesday night studying this very passage. Friends, what is the armor of God? I mean, in Ephesians 6, 14 to 18, we find the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Satan may have some powerful forces, friends, but with God, we are more than they. With God, we are more than they. I don't know. Hey, with God, we are more than they. If there's anything that has a hold of your life, ask God to open your eyes so that you can see the true nature of the battle. Because until you see the true nature of the battle, friends, you will never be able to have victory over your enemy. Secondly, when God opens your eyes, you will experience the presence of God. The presence of God. You know, these lights here make you sweat. It's like I want to repent, like I'm sorry, I won't do it again. I tell you, I wish we were minus 10. Okay, anyway. We will experience the presence of God, friends. When we open our eyes, we see the Lord. Eh? We are reminded that he's always there. Just as he promised Matthew 28, verse 20. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Friends, there is something about being in the presence of someone who is stronger than we are. It soothes our fear. A child's fears after a terrible nightmare go away. When? When he goes to his parents' rooms, he goes back to sleep. A boy who confidently walks through a group of bullies who had just previously beaten him up. Why? Because his bigger brother walks beside him. The shepherd boy with a sling and a few stones faces a 10-foot giant who has the entire nation shaking in their boots. Why? Because he knows the Almighty God is with him. You see that, friends? When you remember that God is with us, we are in the majority. Amen? Just like that, we are in the majority. I don't know. We are in the majority. Let this devil stop lying to you, friends. He beat you up every time. Say, because I don't know. You know now. Anyway, it's these lights, man. I feel like I'm in Africa. You know? Anyway. When our eyes are open first, we see the true nature of the struggle, the battle. Secondly, we experience the presence of the Lord. And lastly, friends, we are reminded of God's past victories. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, Moses is talking to the people of Israel as they are about to enter the promised land, and he anticipates that they are feeling scared and full of fear. And he says in verse 17 and 19 and 21, you may say to yourselves, these nations are stronger than we are. How can we drive them out? But do not be afraid of them. Remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and all of Egypt. You saw with your own eyes the great trials, the miraculous signs and wonders, the mighty hand and outstretched arm with which the Lord your God brought you out. The Lord your God will do the same to all the people you now fear. Do not be afraid of them. Do not be terrified by them. For the Lord your God, who is among you, is a great and awesome God. Moses reminds them about their past and how God always overcame the enemy. Then he says, remember, man, God redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, from the hand of Pharaoh. Then he reminds them, friends, of how God brought them through the wilderness and to the promised land. We need to remember what God has done in our past, how Jesus has redeemed us out of the bondage of sin, and from the hand of the prince of this world. He has brought us to where we are today. And someday we too will cross the Jordan into the promised land, as it were. Elisha said to his servant, don't be afraid, because those who are with us are greater than those who are with them. Listen, friends, God is greater than our enemies. I was reading about King Hezekiah, who says essentially the same things over 100 years later when he tells the commander of the armies not to be afraid of the Assyrians who were approaching Jerusalem. He said in 2 Chronicles 32:7, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is a greater power with us than with him. That's the New Living, the New International Version. But the last phrase in the New King James Version says, for there are more with us than with him. Amen. Some of them were looking around. What do you mean, buddy? But look with spiritual eyes. Hundreds of years later, John said pretty much the same thing when he was talking about the Antichrist in 1 John 4, verse 4, where he said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Friends, do you believe this? Do you believe this? So remember what God has done in your past. I'm not saying live in the past, but we can learn and be encouraged from past blessings. You see, the same God who cared for Israel is the same God who died for us, who rose again, and who's coming again. Amen. He hasn't changed, and nor will he ever change, and we can trust him. God went through the wilderness with the Israelites, and he will go with us. Don't be afraid. He overcame the enemies, and he will overcome ours. Don't be afraid. He delivered them from captivity, and he will deliver us. Don't be afraid. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? If we have Jesus, we do not need to fear those who surround our city. We can rest in God's power and be victorious. Let me conclude, friends. In case you are wondering, what happened to Elisha? Verse 18 says, when the Syrian army came towards Elisha, the Lord struck them with blindness. He closed their eyes. And so Elisha walks up to them and says in verse 19, follow me and I'll lead you to the man you are looking for. And Elisha led them where? Into the city of Samaria, the capital city of the nation he's trying to attack. They are trying to attack. And once in the city, the Lord restored their sight and they begin to freak out. And the king of Israel asked Elisha, should I kill them? Listen to this, friends. Elisha said, no, let's give them a banquet. Let's give them a meal. Let's give them a party. Let's give them a feast. After they were finished eating and drinking, they went back to their own, to their home, back home to their king. And the Syrians stopped raiding the land of Israel. Pretty awesome, isn't it, so friends? Blessing the enemy is an insult to Satan. Blessing the enemy is a real insult to Satan. Remember, he meant to hurt you. Okay. What about Black Bart? What about Black Bart in our introductory story? It turns out that he wasn't anything to be afraid of either. When they captured him and the hood came off, they didn't find a bloodthirsty bandit of Death Valley. They found a well-mannered pharmacist from Decatur, Illinois. A pharmacist from Decatur, Illinois. The man the papers pictured as storming the mountains on horseback. You know what they discovered? He was terrified of horses. He rode to and from his robberies in a buggy. His name was Charles E. Boyles. He never once fired a shot because he never ever loaded his gun. Come on now. Friends, do you have an enemy or fear surrounding the city of your life right now? Are you struggling today, fearful of the uncertain future? Are you wondering how are you going to survive the battles that are raging around you? God says to you today, don't be afraid of them. Open your eyes and see the horses and chariots of God. Don't be afraid, because he who is with us is greater than he who is with them. God doesn't want his children to be afraid. I was reading of an ocean liner that left a British port during World War II and was headed for a harbor in the United States. Enemy ships were everywhere. The captain was given secret directions charting the route. Added were these instructions: keep straight on this course. Turn aside for nothing. If you need help, send a message in code. After a few days at sea, the crew of this ocean liner spotted an enemy ship on the horizon. It appeared to be trailing them. The captain immediately sent a coded message. Enemy ship sighted. What shall I do? The reply came from an unseen vessel. Keep straight on. I'm standing by. No friendly ship could be seen, but the captain kept the liner on course until it safely reached port. And within a short time, a British submarine glided quietly into the same port. Although it had been out of sight, it had been present all the way. I think you know what I mean. So the next time your heart is filled with fear, look up and see the horses and the chariots of fire. Amen. Praise God. If you are afraid of death and judgment, look to Jesus. Trust him to be your savior. If you are not yet saved, I invite you to receive the gift of salvation. I urge you to come to Jesus Christ today and put your faith in him. Repent from sin, and he's able and willing to save you. If you're afraid of life's trials and battle, then look to Jesus as your source of peace, strength, and grace. Let me end with a poem. It's called The Christian's Horizon. What do I see as I look back? Millions of mercies along life's track. God's love shining where all was black. That's what I see looking back. What do I see when I look within? A heart by my Savior redeemed from sin. A hope through his grace, heaven's joys to win. That's what I see looking to him. What do I see looking forth today? Blessings granted before I pray. A sheltering arm, a guiding ray. That's what I see looking for today. What do I see as I look on? Burdens lifted and trials gone. A light at evening, surpassing dawn. That's what I see looking on. What do I see as I look above? God's own banner, whose name is love. Love unspeakable, wonderful love. That's what I see looking above. Let's bow our heads in prayer, friends. Thank you, Lord, for your awesome presence among us. And though we look so lovely on the outside, many are struggling with fears that society and this whole world is putting on us. Fear of the unknown, fear of rejection, fear of dying and stuff. And Lord, you are saying to us, be that as it may, all those problems and circumstances we see around, but look through your eyes of faith and you'll see that I've been there all along. Lord, help each one here. There's not one person who is exempt from this, the fears of this life. There's not one person here who is exempt. But Lord, I pray that you will help us to open our eyes and we will see. I love what your word said. What then should we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Help us to walk in that victory and not succumb to the lies of the enemy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.